Ibrahim Hassan, and his twin brother was Hossam Hassan. Oh my God, Derek, I've just seen the biggest fucking spider you have ever seen in your life, mate. I need to get rid of it. I'll only be 2 seconds.
Good luck.
Holy shit. I'll send you a picture of it, actually. It's so fucking big.
Oh, did I? I could feel.
Oh my God. It is massive.
I hope you're talking about the spider there.
Oh, mate, don't worry. Wait, I was thinking I was talking about, like...
Well, from what your wife said, that's not the what I'm thinking anyway.
No, it's definitely a spider, mate.
10th minute was a brilliant...
Oh dear, Derek, hey, you're needing to go in a coffee.
I'm needing to go to my bed. So I'll say that again, 73rd. Jesus Christ, Derek.
I think you can leave the editing to the water, mate.
I'm trying to do this quick, so I've not got much to do. 41st minute, we got our goal on the... fuck's sake, Derek.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.
Hi everyone, welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave.
Aloha.
Buenas noches.
Yes, we're back again, Derek, again. This must be a record amount of pods that we've put out so early in a season.
Well, yeah, we're up to number 4 already.
My God, well, there you go. Value for money, Derek.
Well, aye, for considering it's free for everybody, so aye, of course it's value for money.
Didn't see any other reason anybody downloading it, to be honest with you.
No. Yes, we're back again a week after the last one. We will hopefully be back next week as well, just depending on the way the games work out and the way shifts work out. But we'll get into this podcast first. We have a couple of games to go over. We have players in. We've got refereeing decisions. We've got bad results. We've got a lot of other things as well involved. So I suppose we'll just crack on and we will go down the tunnel and onto the pitch.
Yes.
Yes. Got it in one.
Got in one, spot on.
So just to start this off, we have just the players coming in and out. We've finally sealed the Kyle Lafferty deal. That was confirmed the Wednesday before the UEFA game, and that's a 2-year deal for an undisclosed fee. So a fairly protracted negotiation, but I don't think Hearts were being arseholes about it for a change. They were just looking to get the best deal, and they were quite amiable with it, weren't they?
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think Hearts, with the fact that their captain, Christoph Behrer, is going to be out for a while, Derek, I think they were possibly thinking, you know, we better get some cash in here because we need to make, you know, sign a few players. I think that's why the deal was raced through. And talking about Hearts, Derek, I just want to say that get well soon to Scottish football's biggest wind-up merchant, that is Craig Levine, who apparently has had some sort of heart problem, I believe, and was taken into hospital. So we do wish him a speedy recovery, because I do like Craig Levine, and he is, as I say, he's great for the wind-up and good for Scottish football, isn't he? So I hope he does have a speedy recovery there.
Yep, certainly. The other only transfer rumour we've got here is that the Osijek winger Eros Greza is set to sign for us for £2 million deal. He's an Albanian winger. I don't think he played against us, did he? But certainly we're hearing good things about him.
Yeah, definitely. But again, Derek, we're only hearing things, stuff that we're getting on the internet and over social media. But if we are to believe what everybody's saying, he is actually a fantastic player, and a perfect player to play in front of Barisic. The two of them have got a great understanding. So I hope that goes through, Derek, because with Jamie Murphy getting injured, we are very short in that area. We've got Ryan Kent that can play there, or we've got young Middleton, but this guy is a current international playing at a very good level, and if he's anything to go by with the other two guys that we've signed from that Croatian league, he should be some player. So I really hope that goes through. I think it's just the work permit's the problem, Derek, so I believe, but if that goes through, that'd be a great sign. And if we were to go out and get ourselves a centre half as well, I would be absolutely delighted with the business that's been done. I do think we need another centre half, because if anything does happen to any of the two that we've got, then we are struggling. I know we've been linked with a certain veteran, experienced Northern Ireland international defender who I'm not going to say his name, but I would be delighted with that one. But again, that's all paper talk at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. They're going to be wishing they never came across this OCGX, didn't they?
That's right, yeah.
Pump them out the cup and raiding their team. So
I know, but I mean, I think we all knew with Barisic, Derek, how much a class act he was. He did look a fantastic player, and if this guy is as good as what he is, then it'd be two incredible signings that we've made. So no, I hope that one goes through, Derek, because we do need the cover in that position, I should say.
Yep. So the first game was on Thursday the 23rd of August. It was the 1-0 win at home against FC Ufa in the Europa League qualifying playoffs. Dave, what was your recollections of this game?
Hard going, Derek. Mm-hmm. A team who set out to frustrate us big time. They stuck to their guns. I honestly think if we'd have got an early goal, then we could have, it would have been a lot more comfortable. But the longer the game went on, the more sort of frustrating that it was becoming. But thankfully, they kept on going and they got their rewards at the end. But I know you're going to go into it. A couple of decisions that went against us, that if they went the other way, then would have been a much better result. But it's going to be a tough one over there, Derek, but going by the standard of team, there's no way that team can play like that again. But I mean, I'll let you get into the your match summary.
Yeah, I mean, certainly they certainly set out to defend and basically go for a 0-0 or concede as little goals as they can. And yep. I don't think they were even attempting really at any point, maybe once after we scored to even go forward. They were quite happy sitting with every man behind the ball. So, but anyway, we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Flanagan, Jack, Ejaria, Kent, Arfield, Candeas and Morelos. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Wallace, Alliday, McCrory, Middleton, Sadiq and Lafferty, who was on the bench for the first time since coming back.
Yes.
So, straight away, I felt we were on the upper hand right from the get-go, and it kind of never really let up without us doing actually really much in the final third. There was a free kick on the first minute. There was a free kick floated in by Tavernier. It was cleared initially, but played back in, punched out by the keeper. Candeas had a shot, but the keeper tips it over the bar for the corner. So right away, we're getting a good chance with the keeper, putting the keeper under pressure.
Yep.
Third minute, Candeas gets the ball on the right, plays in a cross, was gone goalbound, and the keeper had to tip it over for another corner. So I think that one was more of a cross than a shot, to be honest, but it was making the keeper work, which is what we're wanting to see.
Yeah.
Fifth minute, Morelos gets the ball and he passes to Candeas out to the right, took the ball forward, plays in a cross into the middle. Morelos was under pressure and gets a header away, but it was over the bar. But good to see him getting in that position anyway. On the 10th minute, it was a brilliant long ball over the top by Goldson from near the halfway line. Morelos tried to header it, but it seemed to hit off his belly and the keeper ended up saving it. That was a really good chance, because if he had just lined that up, it was a volley and he would have put it in the back of the net. But it was a great chance and a great passage or play. Simple ball as well, right over the top. 21st minute, Tavernier had a free kick on the edge of the box, but it was a comfortable save for the keeper right into his arms. On the 26th minute, I've had a strange moment here. The Ufa player goes down and he thinks it's a foul, so he ends up scooping the ball up. The referee hadn't blown for the foul and ended up giving us a foul for the deliberate handball. The same player then gives away a foul 10 seconds later. And still no yellow card for the player. Should have been an instant yellow card initially for the deliberate handball. Yes. Shouldn't have been.
Yep, definitely.
Yep. 32nd minute, Tavernier puts a long free kick into the box. Morelos gets his head, but it went well wide. On the 41st minute, we went 1-0 up with Conor Goldson getting a goal. It was a corner floated in from the right. Morelos with a great header made the keeper pull off a great save, but only had to, he basically palmed it out. It spilled to Goldson and he was there to mop it up with a simple tap, and great to see him getting in the positions as well.
Yeah, definitely. Morelos really unlucky, Derek. It was a great header and, you know, a good save by the goalkeeper, so really unlucky, but just thankfully someone there, as you say, in the right place at the right time just to prod it home and give us that vital goal.
Yeah, that was what we're looking for. And,
yep.
And then obviously, you know, as we've seen a couple of times before, and we'll get into the next game as well, at your most vulnerable when you've just scored, and that near enough was the case again on the 42nd minute. The ball was floated into our box by Ufa, knocked down into the path of an unmarked attacker who shoots, and a good save with his legs by McGregor out for the corner.
Yeah, great save. Yep.
Corner came in, wasn't cleared, and another unmarked attacker managed to get the shot off in the box, but he put it over the bar, so quite a dangerous piece of play there. But as we went on to see, that was pretty much the only major thing they had to do, and that's the only major thing they'd done in the game, wasn't it? So into half time, you know, fairly happy. We never had too many clear-cut chances, but you know, we needed to put the keeper under a wee bit more pressure than we did. Certainly, obviously, we had the two chances early on in the game where the keeper tipped over the bar, but we were dominating the game clearly, and it was, as I said, it was clear from the get-go that Ufa were here just to defend, weren't they?
Derek, I think we kind of saw that right for, you know, the first minute that they were there just to try and frustrate us and try, as you said, to try and get back for the second leg, having either not conceded any or conceded, you know, to keep the score down. That was their game plan.
Yeah, absolutely. So into the second half then, I think we actually played better in this half than we did in the first half. I think he might have put a rocket up them at half-time again. Mm-hmm. But certainly in the 54th minute, the ball from Goldson to Arfield, who played the ball in the middle of the box. Goldson tried to get there. Ball flicked up off the defender. Morelos comes in, and the ball just wouldn't settle for Morelos to get the shot off, but it was a good move all the same. A minute later in the 55th minute, it was good play, ending Morelos getting... going one way and then turning and shooting the other way, but I think the keeper saved that one, but it was a good effort anyway. Good to see the vision and the skill of Morelos there as well.
Yep.
A minute after that, good play with Ryan Jack getting the shot off, forcing a save from the keeper with his legs, and the ball came back out, but weren't able to convert the second chance there. The minute of controversy on the 58th minute, it was a good penalty claim from us after some brilliant close football, especially from Ajaria. Played the ball into the box and it looked as if Candeas was cleanly taken out, but nothing was given by the referee. Strange decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, totally. As you say, it looked, you know, as clear, I'll say that again, it looked as clear as day. You know, that he was, you know, fouled completely. I think we were all absolutely flabbergasted that the referee never gave anything for it at all. And as I say, there was a few decisions like that, Derek, wasn't there, that we were really quite shocked that we weren't getting any more from this game. A few really, you know, pivotal sort of decisions and moments in the match that could really have made a difference, but it didn't come for us at all.
Yeah. Certainly in the first half, I thought the referee, as maybe apart from that deliberate handball effort, mm-hmm. I felt the referee was quite unique, and I quite liked it, to be honest, because he was allowing the game to flow. He wasn't giving yellow cards where traditionally in modern day football you would have seen yellow cards given, and it kind of made his job easier. Somebody joked, it's almost as if the referee forgot to put his cards in his pocket when coming out for the first half, because he just never showed them at all. And I quite liked that, but then in the second half, he went the exact opposite. He wasn't given stuff that was blatantly yellow cards, and there was no ambiguity about it. It was clear cut, so it was a bit strange.
And there was like constant niggling fouls as well, Derek, by their team. They were just trying to stop us having any momentum at all. And the referee, as you say, never took any action. And I think, you know, possibly if he'd had a fired out a couple of yellow cards, it would have let the players know that, you know, we kind of get away with that, because it was constant, you know, pulling the jerseys and wee kicks here and wee trips there and holding players back. And, you know, it was just constant niggly fouls, enough that they knew that they weren't going to get booked, but it was going to hold up the play. It was just really frustrating. And maybe, again, like I said, if the referee had have dished out a couple of yellow cards, that might have stopped it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. On the 68th minute, Candias came off and Lafferty came on to make his what was effectively his second debut for the club.
Yeah.
On the 71st minute, it was good play by Kent, getting the ball forward on the left, cuts inside, drives the ball forward and has a 25-yard thunderbolt, but goes over the bar. Would have been a cracker, and it was some really good play by Kent. Something that's kind of came out online after this, and we'll get into Jarry in a minute, but Kent was pulled up for a wee bit of criticism. People didn't rate his play, but I felt that this was one of his best games for us so far. He was certainly dynamic throughout the game. He was changing the way he was playing, either going down the outside and getting a good cross in, or he was cutting in and doing driving runs like this. I felt Kent had a really good game.
Yeah, I quite like him, actually, Derek. I think... And now, especially that we have lost Jamie Murphy for the foreseeable future, this guy is the sort of best option that we've got on that side. And, you know, he's very fast and very direct. I think we're actually quite spoiled, Derek, with having somebody like Daniel Candias in our team, because Candias is he's a very good winger. He's very fast. He's great, but he's also very good at tracking back and helping out defensively. And I think we kind of think that all wingers should be like that. And wingers are so unpredictable in their play. Sometimes they can blow hot or cold. Every winger is like that. And he's no exception. But when he is on his game, he's a very good player, Derek.
Yeah, totally. Talking of Kent, on the 76th minute he did come off and Glenn Middleton came on. Basically made an impact straight away. On the 77th minute, Middleton was bundled off the ball in the box. Again, another clear penalty, as you would like, but the referee seemed to hesitate. He looked as if he was going to give a penalty, then he stopped, thought and looked around, and then gave a handball for Lafferty, because basically the ball was knocked on by Lafferty or one of their defenders just before it went to Middleton, and he gave a handball for Lafferty. However, replay showed it actually hit the arm of the UEFA player. Really, really strange. Lafferty should have been booked if it was a handball then, I think. He should have been booked if that was the case. And in any case, Lafferty was actually booked for an accidental challenge just a couple of minutes previously as well. It was an accident. He was clearly looking at the ball, but he did hit the guy quite high in his thigh. However, you know, some people were saying that was never a foul. I felt it was a foul. But yeah, in terms of the penalty, another strange decision. And it makes you wonder what the linesmen were doing in this case as well.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Yep. So again, it was a potential game changer there. So, you know, we could have been, you know, two penalties up and potentially 3-0 up at this point.
Yes,
so.
I know.
82nd minute, long range effort by Lafferty, but wide and not troubling the keeper. And the last effort of the game I've got here was on the 86th minute. There was a cross from the left by UEFA, volley in the box, but going away from the goal, and it was easily taken by McGregor. So certainly, I came away from that game being very pleased, actually. I felt we shone very well. We dominated the game. Disappointed we never scored at least another goal, because I felt we had it in us. But a lot of criticism, I think, came from a lot of fans for this game, saying it wasn't really good enough. And it left me thinking, have we maybe set ourselves up, because of the way we've started, we've maybe set ourselves up for a fall at some point, because when it does come, there's going to be strange reactions like this and complete overreactions like this, isn't there?
Derek, it's very difficult at the moment. We have gone from being a very poor side, getting knocked out of competitions, finishing third in the league, accepting second best. Let's be honest, I mean, there was a lot of times last season that we played poorly compared to how we're playing at the moment, and we were going away quite happy when we were scraping 1-0 wins and, you know, stuff like that. So we have gone from that to playing very, very well, bringing some great players. The management have done a great job, and now all of a sudden we are playing in Europe and we're on the brink of qualifying for the Europa League, which is, you know, there are absolutely no expectations at all of us in Europe this season. I hoped we would get through the first couple of qualifying games as soon as Osijek came out the hat. I wasn't expecting us to win. Certainly wasn't expecting us to win against Maribor. And now we're playing this Russian team. It's very difficult. We're going Thursday, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday constantly at the moment, and we're getting injuries, and the players, and I think, are tiring. This is how I think it's so important that we get a few of your injured players back soon, and possibly add to the squad, because I do think that if we did get a few back and we did have a few more quality players to rely on, you know, we would certainly cope with it a lot more. But I think, Derek, just the way that we are playing, I think a lot of people have set their expectations very high. We're just starved of success, Derek. That's all it is. And we're desperate, aren't we? We're just desperate for the team to do well. And I know that me and you are realists with a lot of this stuff, but a lot of people are just really starved of success, and they want me to do well. And we've seen how well we played against Maribor at Ibrox in the second half, and I think everybody was just more frustrated than anything else with the fact that we didn't capitalise and we didn't score a couple more. But it's still a fantastic result, Derek. Still, you know, not conceding a goal, you know, in Europe again. And I certainly believe that we can score in Russia, you know, with what we've got, considering that, you know, he did rest a few of the players for the weekend match that we'll have available. We will have Candias back, and, you know, we should have Arfield back in the team as well. So, you know, we certainly, I am positive there, Derek, that we will. But I just think it was more frustration rather than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree there. I mean, as I said in the reaction pod, you know, the first and foremost thing when you've got the first game at home is not to concede the away goal.
Yes.
And I think I even said, I can't remember where it was, maybe in the last pod, where, you know, even a 0-0 I would have been fairly happy with, because the vital thing is not conceding. So,
yeah.
I'm delighted with the result. I felt, you know, yeah, obviously disappointed not to go two or three up when we clearly had the chances, but, you know, it's going to give us, it's putting us in a great stead for the next game. We could go out and lose 2-1 the next game, we would still go through. As you said, I think we'll score over there. We might, you know, obviously we'll get into the Motherwell game in a minute. If we play like that, we might concede, but or certainly we will concede rather, but
I'm positive, Derek. I don't think we're going to get beat in the next game. I'm quite positive. Same when we played Motherwell. Even in the second half when Motherwell were all over us, I still didn't believe that we were going to get beat. And that's the way that I'm feeling at the moment. There's just, you know, there is that sort of ruggedness about the team just now. They do have a lot of fight in them, which we didn't have last season. You know, I'm sure you're going to get the Motherwell game next, and we'll go over the feelings there. But we still, you know, weren't beaten in these games, and I think that we're more than capable of going to Russia and getting a draw over there, if not a victory, Derek.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, as I've said as well in the reaction pod, where that means that UEFA have got to go chase the game now. They've got to.
Yeah.
They've got to leave the gaps at the back, or they will leave gaps at the back unless they're extremely switched on, and that'll allow us to exploit the areas. I mean, I can't see us going very attacking, but at the same time, we might, for the reason where if we just get that one goal, then it absolutely kills it. So,
totally, yep.
But, yep, I'm fairly happy with that. In terms of Ajaria, that was certainly his best game I think he's played for us, and even the gaffer said that he was magnificent on the night. You know, it was really, really positive play, getting forward, taking on players, getting into the good positions, and it amazed me that some fans, you know, were still raging about how he was playing, thought he was shit, and, you know, they just wouldn't give him the time of the day. Even got to the stage where one guy made an arse of himself and started blocking fellow Bears on Twitter, where they disagreed with his opinion. So unbelievable, some people, aren't they?
Social media is a funny thing, though, Derek, because you really don't know who it is that's on the other end of the account. You know, we've spoken about obsessed fans before, making up fake accounts and stuff like that. So take it all with a pinch of salt, unless you know, actually know that you're dealing with a, you know, 100% a bear that you're talking to. A lot of the other guys are a lot of crackpots on social media. So I certainly think the vast majority of us all seen that the guy is getting better and better. And I thought he played really well against Motherwell as well, Derek, to be fair.
Yeah.
He is getting better. I had my doubts about him at the start. I did tell you that. But he's growing. He is growing on me now, Derek, and he is starting to hold down his position in the team, which I'm delighted about.
Yep, brilliant. So into the next game here, we have got Sunday the 26th of August. It was away to Motherwell in the Premiership, and we drew 3 each, unfortunately.
Yeah.
A few changes. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Katic, Goldson, Barisic, Flanagan, Jack, Halliday, Ejaria, Lafferty and Morelos. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Kent, Wallace, Arfield, Middleton, Sadiq and Candeas. A strange team selection initially. It was either going to be a 3 at the back or a 5 at the back, which I didn't think it was going to be. So we lined up 3 at the back, didn't we? And it never really worked for me, did it?
No, it didn't, Derek. You could see that everybody was... They just looked a bit mixed up, didn't they? They weren't quite sure of their positions at all. And just a very strange one. It's the first time that I've questioned the management's decision on, formations and decisions that they've made. I just thought this was a puzzling one. I'm going to pose a question to you after, you know, you've done your match summary. And it was the first thing that I thought, and I put it out on Twitter as well. I had a few reactions, but I'll let you get into the match summary, Derek.
Just in relation to what you said about, you know, them being confused, they looked confused. A lot of people said, especially Andy Little, said they looked very comfortable. I would have said we maybe slightly, despite us losing 2 goals in the half, we maybe slightly shaded the first half. But there was large spells of the first half where I thought we were, you know, on the back foot, to be honest. And I don't know, it just, to me, it didn't look comfortable, but we'll get into it anyway. Just before the Motherwell game, the Motherwell captain Peter Hartley came out with comments stating that it was fun to watch Cardoso getting his nose broken. Absolutely disgraceful comments. The newly appointed compliance officer is meant to be looking into it, and Hartley and Motherwell have apologised before the game as well. So very classy comments, though, from Gerard, by basically just saying, look, he's silly comments, done and dusted, he's apologised, we'll move on. So,
you took the words right out of my mouth there, Derek. It was very well done by Stephen Gerrard. I think possibly as soon as he realised what he had said, he's obviously... whoever's been in charge at Motherwell has went through him and told him to get on the phone to Rangers and to Stephen Gerrard and apologise, which he did. And as you say, very, very well done by Stephen Gerrard to sort of say, no, that's it, he's apologised. It was a silly thing to say, but that's the end of it. So didn't make any big issue out of it, which was really good. But regardless, Derek, really unprofessional, really, really poor by him, especially a guy that's a captain. And, you know, hopefully we didn't ever hear anything like that again, because it really was quite bad, wasn't it?
Yep, absolutely. Certainly right from the get-go, on the second minute we went a goal down. It was a long ball up from Motherwell from their half. Goldson slips, ball bounces twice, one touch past McGregor and into the back of the net. I think McGregor might have had a wee slip as well. Slips can happen, you know, these things, you can't really hold it against them. It's just an unfortunate set of circumstances, but again, it proves that, you know, that was one slip. When you play 3 at the back, then you need to be on your game all the time, because one simple ball, that's and one slip, that's all it taken. There was no cover there to match the player.
Disappointing, Derek, like you said, both players. I actually thought McGregor was very badly positioned for the first goal, which isn't like him, considering how well he's played. As you say, Goldson, unfortunate slip. But McGregor, I think, was in a really, really put poor position, made it very easy for the guy just to dink it over, didn't he? Which is not like him, is it?
No, he's normally positioned great, but...
yeah, aye.
But as I said, it's one of these things that has happened, you can slip at any point. But fourth minute, it was a great long ball into the box from Tavernier, header by Lafferty into the box, forcing a good save from the keeper. On the 10th minute, Motherwell had a good cross on the deck from the right-hand side, skips through the defence and their attackers, and it was cleared. It really should have been a second goal for Motherwell because they just couldn't get their foot on it. And it was clearly, you know, the players were unmarked in the box. However, we did draw level on the 15th minute with Kyle Lafferty getting his first goal since coming back. It was a great cross into the box from Barisic, headed out by the defender, right to Lafferty on the edge of the box, who volleys it. The ball was going on target, but it took a deflection into the back of the net, and that was the and we drew level.
Yeah, I mean, great technique, Derek, to be fair to the guy, and, you know, possibly just for that, he got his just desserts, but... you know, you've got to have a shot in that area for, you know, for it to go in, and, you know, it deflected in. But can I say that it was a fluke that he went for the shot? Because he didn't. You could see he was going for the volley on target, and, you know, fortunately for us, it went in.
Yeah, I mean, it was much like the goal he scored against Celtic as well, wasn't it? So it was good, yep. good technique there. And as I was saying before about being most vulnerable after you've just scored, well, again, it proved to be the case because on the 17th minute, Motherwell went 2-1 up. It was a long free kick from the right into the far side, free header into the back of the net, absolutely no marking whatsoever, just a free header.
It was shocking, absolutely shocking defending, Derek, considering how well we have been doing and how rock solid we've been at the back. It was absolutely shocking defending for somebody to be so close and be unmarked. It's just it's unforgivable at that level, and everybody I think had the right to be going absolutely daft at the standard there because they made it so easy for Motherwell, didn't they?
Yep, absolutely did. 24th minute, drive and run forward with the ball from Tavernier, hits a shot on the edge of the box and the ball goes wide. We did pull the goal back on the 37th minute though, again with Kyle Lafferty scoring a brace. Lovely cross from Tavernier on the right, pinpoint to the centre of the box to Lafferty, who heads it down into the back of the net. I think he headed it down into the turf and then bounced up into the net. A fantastic goal and what a cross from Tavernier.
Yeah, no, it was a great goal, Derek. And, you know, Lafferty, obviously, bang on form just now, confidence at a total high. And, you know, you can tell that, you know, when you've got a striker like that. And I was a wee bit dubious about him coming back, but he certainly proved me wrong in this game because I thought he was superb.
Yeah, certainly was. And I think we've kind of seen so far the in terms of, you know, just in the last two goals there, the one for Motherwell, the one for us, the good and the bad of Tavernier with his marking and defence, but then with his forward play and going crossing. It's really frustrating that way, isn't it? But
yes.
And then we went 3-2 up on the 42nd minute. It was a brilliant counter-attack and right out from our defence. Out wide to Barisic, who puts in a great cross on the deck to Ajaria at the edge of the box, and he hits a curling shot. It was going in one side of the box. The keeper did get his hand to it. It was strange the way that the cameras picked it up, but it ended up putting it into the other side of the net, and the ball trundled over. Fantastic move all round, and what a cross from Barisic.
Yeah, Barisic is a class act, Derek, isn't he? Your listeners will be going, oh my God, here he goes again with the Barisic loving. But he really is a top-notch player, Derek. He really is. And again, how we've managed to get this guy for such a cheap price, I honestly don't know, because I think he's absolutely fantastic. And get into the second half, Derek, but I think him going off as well, you know, it was a big mistake also, but we'll get to that when you get into the second half.
Yeah, so certainly, you know, it was quite a bit of a midfield game apart from the goals, and I felt that we were brilliant to come back into it, and I think that was the one worry, the fact that we hadn't went behind at all this season, is how the players would react. And certainly,
exactly, yeah,
went going behind twice and then going taking the lead, it showed some great character from the squad, and it shows you we're going to react in the right way, certainly.
Yeah, and at that point, Derek, as soon as we scored the third goal, I honestly thought we were going to go in and get another couple. I don't know if you felt the same way, just with the fact that we hadn't played particularly well, but we obviously had the fire in the belly at that point, and as you say, fantastic to get back and be winning at half time. And I did really think there was only going to be one winner, but unfortunately it didn't pan out like that.
No. So into the second half, it was a non-event for us. We just never turned up, did we? Yeah. 42nd minute, straight from the off, Motherwell had a chance across the face of the goal, but couldn't get their man onto it. Our defender managed to get the ball away, much like the chance earlier on in the first half, where it just came flashing across the goal and nobody could pick it up. 47th minute, Jack had a long distance shot, but it was comfortably saved by the keeper. Next 15 to 20 minutes, Motherwell probably the better side without actually doing anything with it. We were just not, you know, non-existent, I felt, at that point. Halliday came off on the 67th minute and Arfield came on the 68th minute. Motherwell had a good chance working the ball from the left into the box. They hit a shot away at a tight angle and it ended up coming off the leg of their attacker, but I think it was going on target nonetheless. 73rd minute, we had a free kick from the right, cleared out to the left, comes to Morelos, who hits a shot at an angle but was fairly comfortably saved by the keeper. The moment Dave thinks that the game maybe changed for the worse was on the 77th minute, where Barisic came off and Middleton came on.
Yeah.
I think it was it was more the fact that Middleton never really done anything when he came on. That was more the point for me.
Derek, I was watching the second half and I could see that Motherwell were coming more and more and more into the game, and the only out ball that we had at that point, the only person that looked at had a bit of skill and could get time in the ball and calm things down was Barisic. And when he went off, I was really quite shocked and I thought, this is, you know, I can't quite believe he's coming off at this point. And I heard a commentator say, oh, but Barisic, he looks absolutely shattered and that's the reason that he went off. And I thought, you know, that just can't be right. I don't know if you felt the same way, Derek, but he did look as if the only one who had a bit of composure at that point.
Yeah.
And he took him off. And that was the first doubt in my mind. As soon as that happened, I thought there's something just no right here. But on you go.
The 84th minute, Motherwell had a cross in from the left and a header at the far post, and it was just past the opposite side of the post. And then 90 minutes had came and gone. We were into the third minute, the dying seconds of 3 minutes of injury time, and Motherwell got the corner. Literally all we had to do was kick the ball up the field, defend the corner, yep, kick it upfield. But we decided to bring a sub on when we're defending a corner, and Ajaria came off and Wallace came on. School of thought, is it not one of the, you know, what they teach you in defending number one?
Right, Derek, this is the God's honest truth. I swear, this is the God's honest truth. As you know, I help out my son's team. I help to run the team, and I was in charge of their game on Saturday. This is something, and there was a wee laddie that was desperate to get on and play into the second half, and I told him, I says, look, in a few minutes you're going to get on. I says, the next time the ball goes out of the field, I says, you'll be on. And the ball did go out, and it was a corner for the other team, and the wee laddie was getting ready to run on, and I put my hand on his shoulder. I says, no. I says, you never ever make a substitute when you're defending, especially for a corner. And that was me saying that, Derek. Mm-hmm. Somebody who has got no coaching badges, you know, I've been helping out the boys team for a long time, but even I was able to tell that to a young laddie of 11-year-old. And for that to happen at our level and a standard that we expect, it's so amateurish, Derek. It's unreal. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm bad-mouthing the manager, because I'm not, because things have been great. But that is just... It's unthinkable, Derek. You just don't do that, especially with a defender, especially bringing a defender on when you're defending a corner. It unsettles absolutely everything. And I think you could actually see it when Wallace came on. He come running into the box, and he wasn't sure who he was picking up, who he was marking, and it totally unsettled everybody. It was absolutely ridiculous I don't know if you're thinking this is as bad as what I am, Derek, but I honestly still can't get over that.
No, it was baffling to me, and this is a, you know, maybe his inexperience showing through there, but at the same time, he's got, you know, experienced people in the dugout with him. You know,
so I know.
You would have thought that they would have just held off. And I know what they were doing, it was an effort to waste time, but there was literally no time to waste. And
yes,
you would have thought that it would have learned from the Aberdeen game where we wasted so much time. They got, was it something like 6 minutes injury time, and we eventually lost a goal from that. So,
yes.
You know, it didn't make sense to me, and, you know, it just unsettled the players. And, you know, we don't know if Ajaria, if the same mistake would have made, because I think it was Tavernier that lost his man. However, who knows? You know, it's one of these things, and it really felt like a gut punch again.
Yeah, I know. It was just like the Aberdeen game, Derek. We felt exactly the same, totally gutted, and it felt like a defeat instead of a draw. And the fact that Motherwell ran as if they had just won the game, the celebrations that they were doing, was quite sickening as well, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking at the table, I mean, we've played 3 games, 1-1, drawn 2, lost 0, scored 6, conceded 4, goal difference plus 2, and we're on 5 points. So you look at it there, especially considering we've been away to Aberdeen, away to Motherwell, and at home to St Mirren, especially the 2 away games, it's been a, you know, a fairly, you know, bad running we've had, especially with the away games. Then obviously the next game we're away to Celtic, so it's you look at it, that 5 points from 9, especially with a brand new team, it's okay. But then, given the fact that we were winning these games up until the last seconds of these games, we should have been 9 for 9 now. So
exactly, yes.
You can't help but feel really disappointed and angry about that. And you're thinking, well, you know, you go a bad result against Celtic next, and you know you're only looking at 5 points from 12, and then you'll be 4 points behind Celtic already. You know, before games gone, it's. But, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom, and as people have pointed out, you know, better managers than Gerrard have had a worse start, and it's all been good, especially you look at Souness's first year, you know, so it's,
I know,
not all doom and gloom, but there's obviously improvement.
Derek, it isn't all doom and gloom, and there is a sort of feel-good factor just now. There's only one thing that's annoying me right now, Derek, and I put it out on Twitter, and I will ask you the same question. And before anybody jumps down my throat and tells me I'm talking shite, this is just my opinion, and it's about James Tavernier. Now, I think James Tavernier is a fantastic player, especially, you know, when we're attacking. But when it comes to defending, Derek, he can be a complete and utter bomb scare. We know that. And what is worrying me now about James Tavernier, I would rather have Tavernier in the Rangers squad than away, don't get me wrong again, but I feel that every single player, bar possibly 2 or 3 of the team at the moment, could be subbed or could be rested for other players coming in. The sort of 3 players I think that we couldn't do without at the moment are Alan McGregor, Conor Goldson, and Alfredo Morelos. And I'm going to say, just by the way I've seen him, Barisic, but he's already proven that by taking him off, you know, subbing him. But I wouldn't put James Tavernier in that bracket for us. I think that we should be able to have a squad that we can change when we play certain teams to play certain players. And for the fact that Steven Gerrard has made James Tavernier our captain, you can't drop your captain, Derek, can you?
No.
And has he now put himself, has Steven Gerrard now put himself in a position where he is having to accommodate James Tavernier in the team just so that he can play?
I mean, I don't think so, because he can play further forward, and I think that's what most of us are wanting him to do.
But he's never played in that position yet, though, Derek. He's never played in that. I mean, why didn't we just do that then? Why didn't we just play him in that Daniel Candace role, playing the 4-2-3-1 with James Tavernier being the attacking player on the right-hand side? Why not do it? But
Dave, we've never had the cover before to do it, and I still don't think we've got the cover to do it, and that's the problem. And ultimately, you know, made him undroppable because he's the captain now, but at the same time, for someone who calls himself
a defender... You can't drop your captain.
Somebody who calls himself a defender is that inconsistent. I don't see how he can call himself a defender, because if he's that inconsistent, certainly he's got better this year in terms of his defending, but there's these lapses like that happened on Motherwell. That was two goals. That he potentially, you know, cost us in terms of his bad marking. So you've got to remember, though, as well, it's still early days, so there's going to be a lot of coaching involved. You know how Gerard likes to get involved with the coaching, and, you know, he's a highly respected professional, Gerard.
Oh, I know.
He'll know the deficiencies of players, so, that, you know, it's something that he'll need to work on. I think he's done already this year, but there's still that lapse in concentration from time to time from Tavernier.
I would just hate to think, Derek, that we... Because he obviously rates Flanagan highly, and Flanagan is a right back, but he's a defensive right back. And he would be my preferred choice personally when we are playing the harder teams, when we are playing Celtic, when we are playing the sort of Aberdeen away or whatever, and playing in Europe. So the question I've got, Derek, is we had Flanagan in there and he put him in as a part of the back three against Motherwell. Why wasn't he just getting played at right back, and why wasn't Tav getting played in front of him as the attacking player? Because you said that we've not got cover, but we do have cover. We've got Flanagan at right back, who is a fantastic right back. Why not put Tav up in that position? But for some reason it just doesn't happen in that formation, so that the two of them could play just didn't work at all. And this is what's worrying me. Tav is now the captain. Your captain should be the first name on the team sheet every week. So he must see Tav as being the first name on his team sheet every week because he is the captain. And that is my worry, Derek.
But maybe that's what he's done against Motherwell, though, is he changed things about so Tav could get further forward, and it's obviously backfired in this case. You know, you play a three at the back, you need your wing-backs to come back and defend, and he's not done that to the best of his ability, because we do know that on occasion he can defend very well, but he can obviously do these lapses. So I'm not wanting to get bogged down in this, because you could talk about this for years about his defensive frailties or whatever. So it's something that, you know, you've got to allow the manager time to sort it. Whether the Motherwell game, who you knew you were going to come up against them, quite a hard team and a battling team, whether that was the right decision to try out, you know, a different formation, a different way of playing, was the right one or not, I would say no, given the fact that we've never shipped three goals this year. So it's backfired on them that way. We'll need to wait and see.
Yep, okay.
Yep. So the games to come, now we obviously have Thursday the 30th of August, this Thursday, it's the away leg to FC UFA. So
3 p.m. kickoff, I believe.
3 p.m. kickoff, our time, so try and get away from work early that day if you can.
Yeah.
Obviously we've highlighted it in the game, but it's going to be a tough game, but I think we've got enough to see it out and do something that I don't think anybody that really expected and qualify for the actual group stages, which will be a momentous achievement.
Incredible achievement, Derek, it really would be. And I think that if we did, you know, if we do put on a performance, if we do either win or draw over there and go through, I think it'll set us up for the weekend, and, you know, we will be on a high for that one. So fingers crossed, one game at a time, Derek. I think that's what the manager's trying to do. Possibly the two games this week have been on the players' minds on Sunday, Derek. I don't know, but it's hard for them to concentrate on certain games, I think, when we've got two huge games coming up like this week. So maybe that had a lot to do with it as well. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly. And as you said, playing on Sunday, it's the 2nd of September, away to Celtic. That's a 12 p.m. kickoff. And it was announced today that Willie Collum has been given the game to referee. That's on the back, by the way, of an apparent ridiculous red card decision that he gave in the Hearts Killie game at the weekend. So kind of the best of a bad bunch, the is, you know, no really. There's probably only about two or three guys that could take it. So
it is, Derek. It's refreshing because I believe the Celtic fans absolutely hate this guy. We are passion, and he's been called every Mason and Orange Bee under the sun, and it turns out that he's actually a religious education teacher in a Roman Catholic high school. So that's some of the things that I've heard. So he's not very well liked by them, and you know, he's had a few dodgy games for us as well. And like you said, Derek, I think he is the sort of best of the bad bunch, isn't he?
Yep, absolutely. Then after that, there's an international break. And then we're not back in action till Saturday the 15th of September, which is at home to Dundee in the Premiership. So we'll have a pod maybe next week, hopefully, if not, certainly before the next home game. So we now go into the classic match.
And there it is! The final whistle's gone! Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup!
Dave, you have got the last match of the poll that we put out 3 weeks ago, haven't you?
Yes, I've been working hard, Derek.
You know, he surprised me with his astounding work and then just be lazy for the next 3 weeks. So.
In you didn't really expect any more, Derek,
well,
did you? Really?
Well, no, and in fairness, it was me that reminded you still had this game, so I should have just got you to do another one.
Exactly. No, I've pulled a game from the season that I had highlighted with Dick Advocaat in charge. It was, the date was played on the 29th of November 1998, and it was the Scottish League Cup final, played at Celtic Park, and our opponents on that day were St Johnstone. Rangers lined up that day with Antti Niemi, Sergio Perini, Lorenzo Amoruso, Colin Hendry, Arthur Newman, Barry Ferguson, George Alberts, Andrei Kanchelskis, Giovanni van Bronckhorst, Rod Wallace and Stefan Givarsch. The St Johnstone team on that day, players like Alan Main in goals, Gary Bolan, Grant O'Neill, Nick Dazovic, Kane, Dodds, O'Boyle and Semedo, who I believe is a Portuguese winger, if my memory serves me correctly. A lot of action in the first half, Derek. Rangers right on the front foot from the second minute, when we had a corner that fell for Rod Wallace on the penalty spot, but he shoots just wide. And then on the fourth minute, Giovanni van Bronckhorst beats two players, a fantastic skill, hits a shot, but that deflects wide as well. Rangers all over them, and then we got the early goal on the sixth minute.
He'll go for the run for Kanchelskis. The Russian is away. He can cut it back. Tenny Givarsch. 6 minutes gone, and Givarsch, icily cool, puts that away to put Rangers in the lead, and that is so typical of the way he's finished so often in French football. 3 seasons he's ended up top goal scorer there. He kept his head well and his poise.
He just said that on Tuesday, Archie, that Perini had a bad game the other night. He's played an inch perfect ball, and Chelsea's using great pace, and that just comes back as a striker. You love that. Well done by Kanchelskis here. Good touch. Looked up. He knew Givarsch is there. Bounces perfectly to him. Darren Dodds could do nothing. Bang, 1-0. Great goal by Givarsch.
Great possession play by Rangers. Eventually, Andrei Kanchelskis gets the ball from Sergio Perini on the byline and cuts it back to Stefan Givarsch, who scores to make it 1-0 to Rangers. And of course, that was back in the day, Derek, that we thought we'd got ourselves a real goal machine in Stefan Givarsch, because in his first few games he did look like a class act, but unfortunately it didn't work out like that. As you said, Derek, in their last few games we are at our most vulnerable just after we score, and here we go again. Rangers scored on the 6th minute, but on the 7th minute St Johnstone equalised with a great shot from Nick Dazovic, which made it 1-1.
There's Dazovic! Oh, it's a great equaliser! The Canadian international out of the blue, that's so reminiscent of the goal he scored against Hearts in the semi-final, coming from just outside the box, and a build-up to what I think is now going to be a very interesting
interesting game indeed.
Well, what a goal that was. That's the job he's there for. When the ball comes into the box and it goes to the edge of it, he's picking up the pieces here. In before, I think it's Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. What a strike in his left peg. A little deflection. Colin Henry could do nothing. And if Guivarch's strike was good, that's even better.
After that, it was then George Albert's long-range shot, which was well saved. St Johnson closing Rangers down, but just couldn't get playing, and the game was mostly played in the St Johnston half. Barry Ferguson linking up, great play with Arthur Newman down the left hand side, who puts in a fantastic cross which was just headed over by Rod Wallace. It had been a fantastic goal. And then on the 36th minute, Rangers took the lead.
Bowling not letting him settle at all. That's not the kind of ball you play to Kinchelsers anyway. You've got to put it beyond the fullback.
No, true, but still Gary Bowling.
And well, that's a beautiful move as Albert comes in. Oh, yes! That, an immaculate play to eradicate any criticism. You might have justifiably got for slack play up till then. And a great piece of combined play as Rangers go 2-1 up.
Well, it's a great dummy initially, and Guivarch just lays it into Albert. At times it looks as though he just does enough, and you know he can give you more. And when he does things like this, you know he is a class player. Great dummy, beautiful 1-2 with Guivarch laid in perfect for him. Defenders can't get there in time, and Alan Menn can't stop it. And we know when it's on his left peg, there's only one place it's going to end up, and that's the back of the net. 2-1 Rangers.
The ball was played to Stefan Guivarch on the edge of the box with a cushion pass to the on-running George Albert, who fires on a fantastic shot to make it 2-1 to Rangers. And at that point, it really looked as if we were going to run away with it, because a few minutes later, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, a great play to Arthur Newman, who, you know, did the overlapping run to the byline. A low cross to Barry Ferguson on the penalty area. All I had to do, he was just about to pull the trigger, but then he has a fantastic tackle by Grant at the back to stop that one going in. And then just at the end of the first half, Stefan Guivarch had another chance just inside the box. It was a great link-up play with Rod Wallace, and again he shoots, but it was just over the bar. So Rangers went in 2-1 at half-time, looking fairly comfortable at that point. Into the second half, again, it was all Rangers possession. Antti Niemi was a spectator, according to Archie McPherson, but certainly looking back, can't remember of him having much to do, so he was quite right. Another George Albert's with another long-range shot, which was saved by Alan Main. And then just about the 60th minute, Albert's again, ball played through to him. He had a couple of defenders in front of him, went for the shot just over the bar also. So to be fair to St Johnson, they were pushing us back, and they were making us having to have some long-range shots. But when you've got a player like George Albert's on your team, that can sometimes be as dangerous as allowing players into your box. Ian Ferguson then came on for George Albert's after that. He looked as if he'd picked up a wee bit of a knock. And then on the 65th minute, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst with a snapshot in the edge of the box, but again charged down by the St Mirren defender. 68 minutes, a few minutes later, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst with a long-range shot, a thunderbolt which comes skimmed the bottom of the post but out for a goal kick. And then in the 84th minute, Andre Kinchelskis, who'd had quite a quiet game, but he picked up a loose ball in the edge of the box, skips past his defender and shoots, and it was deflected just past for the corner. And then going into the dying minutes of the match, Billy Dodds looped a shot just past the post, one of the very few chances that he had. That was Dodds for St Johnston, I should say. One past the post, that was one of the very few chances that St Johnston had. The 89th minute, the only bit of action we had, Stefan Guivarch, very quiet in the second half. He came off for Gordon Jury. But that controlled performance saw us through to the final whistle.
And the final whistle is gone. Rangers have won the League Cup. The first trophy of the season goes to Ibrox. It has been hard hard fought. Rangers deserve it. On the statistics, you cannot argue with that.
Rangers won 2-1 and lifted the League Cup.
The captain of the side, the gentleman who adds such originality to the game, Lorenz Amoroso with the cup.
Not a lot of goals in that one, Derek, but certainly some fantastic play and, you know, some great players in there. George Albertz, again, was outstanding until he went off. So was Giovanni van Bronckhorst. And thankfully, they did hold on and win 2-1. St Johnstone, very defensive in that game. So, again, if you get the chance, go back. You'll see us lifting some silverware in that season. Always good to see that. And again, you can pick that up on YouTube. And I'm sure the Rangers archives have that one as well. So go and watch it if you get the chance.
Yes, I think the full game's on YouTube because I couldn't even find the 10-minute highlight one.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, so I skimmed through the full game. So
yep.
Yep, another great classic match there, another cup win for us, which is our cup, isn't it, the League Cup, so Dave, we'll need to get you to do some work for the next podcast, and we'll
Damn.
Get another classic match for the next time.
Damn.
Yeah, you've only got a week, by the way, for doing the next one, so finger out.
Oh dear, see, you're a bloody slave driver, so you are, Derek.
Right, so we'll go now into the news. Not a lot to talk about in this one, unfortunately, this week, or fortunately, whichever way you might want to look at it. As Dave's mentioned a few times, Jamie Murphy has been ruled out for basically the rest of the season with a ACL injury, wasn't it? So,
yeah, that's a nightmare, Derek, because I know he hadn't been to the same standard that he was last season, but he's still a really, really good player, isn't he? And still somebody that, you know, we would be quite happy to see playing in the team. And has left us short in that position. So it couldn't have come at a worse time. I feel sorry for the guy because we all know this is his club and his dream move, and that was for, you know, he signed, you know, a permanent deal for us, and just feel heart sorry for the guy. You just have to hope that he comes back as good as he was, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, it's worse than a leg break, injuries like that. Yeah, so
yes.
Hope for my speedy recovery.
Yeah.
And a good thing though is Alfredo Morelos has been called up for the first time to the Colombian squad for the games.
Oh, Derek, I didn't know that.
Yep, against Argentina and Venezuela. So,
wow.
Obviously, when the rest of us are on international break, he's going to be away doing that. So, unfortunately, we're going to, you know, it's going to be games where he might get injured, which would be devastating for us, obviously, the now. But great for the guy, isn't it?
That's, I mean, Derek, Colombia are one of the best teams in the world, let's be honest. And for him to be even in the squad is quite phenomenal. I mean, that's an incredible achievement for him. I'm absolutely delighted that he's there. Gives him recognition. It gives us recognition as well, yep. Doesn't it? So, no, that's fantastic. I really hope he does well. Be quite surprised if he does start any games, Derek. I don't think he would, but just even to be involved at this stage for him is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, brilliant. Another call-up was Alan McGregor has been called up to the Scotland squad. However, Ryan Jack has been left out.
I know, Derek, we've got to look at this two ways. Obviously, I mean, I myself like to see our players playing international football because I think it just raises the standard of our team and our players, but also going on the amount of games that we're playing just now, we have to take this as a positive that we're going to have players that are going to have a wee bit of a rest and players that have wee niggly injuries that, you know, it'll give them more recovery time. So we just have to see it at like that. You know that it's going to give Ryan Jack the chance to get, you know, a wee break and, you know, to get into, you know, some more training and stuff like that. So I will, but we'll leave it at that. I would like to have seen him involved, but I'm taking the positives out of it.
Yep. Next one I've got here is the fan zone gate, as it's going to be called now, is rumbled on, and it's kind of escalated as well.
Yes.
On the back of our fan zone proposal being rejected by Glasgow City Council, and that was effectively on the back of Stephen Dornan, the Glasgow City Council leader, Susan Aitken, and our deputy, David MacDonald. Susan Aitken basically backed possible plans for a fan zone at Hampden. Quite rightly, there's been a lot of accusations of hypocrisy getting flung at her, including from opposition party MPs, including some who are Celtic fans, basically calling out the hypocrisy of the whole thing, claiming that, and quite rightly, you know, it's good for the city for having fan zones for Parkhead, Hampden and Ibrox, and there's obviously an agenda going there. It's since come to light that David MacDonald, her deputy, is the chair of Glasgow Life. They are the company that oversee the running of the facilities and the park outside Ibrox, the AstroTurf Park, and they themselves even backed the proposal until MacDonald's objections in his role in the council basically put a veto to that. He's putting his own prejudices ahead of making the company that he's the chairman of money, which is crazy. He also tweeted, it's came to light in 2012, mocking the Loving Cup ceremony, a ceremony that we all know dedicated to the death of 30 men in a mining accident.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Absolutely scandalous behaviour. He's a clear Celtic fan from his Twitter, and when he was quite rightly getting tweets thrown at him on the back of that, he's locked his Twitter down. I don't know what the people of that party think is abuse of power, but certainly what's happened in Glasgow City Council, I would say that's pretty much it. Would you not,
Derek? There's been a sort of long-standing joke, tongue-in-cheek joke, about Glasgow City Council and their leanings towards a certain club in the East End of Glasgow, and we've all made light of it and made fun, but this is bringing it all to life, isn't it? It's absolutely incredible that that's happened. I think the guy's now been found out, hasn't he? And I can only hope now that there is really going to be some incredible pressure put on that to be overturned now, Derek, since all this has came to light. It is. I know I listened to the guys on Heart and Hand. They went on about this at quite some length. But certainly to me it looks like an abuse of power, doesn't it? It's quite incredible that that has happened, and he has been found out. The excuses that they've given as well are really poor. They said that it was all to do with stop children from playing on the pitches when the pitch is hardly ever used anyway. It's quite incredible, Derek, and I really hope that this is getting investigated fully and it gets overturned, because it would be a fantastic opportunity there. It would be an incredible opportunity to make money as well, and it's absolutely farcical how this has all came about. As you say, they're showing their prejudices against our club openly. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's all from one political party, which quite clearly they've, ever since they became in power, they've leaned to one side. And it's one thing leaning to one side and favouring, that side with favourable land deals and free renovations hidden behind the back of, Commonwealth Games. But it's an entirely different thing to literally prejudice the other club, by effectively blocking progress of them, aren't they? That's what it is. And it's not just Rangers that's benefit, it's going to be the community as well.
Yeah.
And it was only on a trial basis to begin with anyway, with the view of then moving it into the actual grounds of Ibrox once that gets redeveloped a wee bit more. So it's just absolutely scandalous the way it's happened. And, I'm kind of in a way glad that it's kind of happened as well, for the fact that it has brought the whole issue to the forefront, and it looks as if it is going to get dealt with in a serious manner now, because obviously with opposition MPs, who some have said that they don't even like football, they just don't like that injustice. I've came out and I've supported Rangers in that respect. Club 1872, for all my misgivings on them, came out with a great statement and said that they are looking into it further. They're going down a few options, and I listened to one of the podcasts with on the Heart and Hand site with one of them, and they obviously said that they can't go into detail what they're doing, but there is plans afoot to counter what this is, what's happening here.
Good.
So, and the club are not taking it lightly. So
yeah,
fantastic
good stuff.
To see, and I'm glad it's brought it to the forefront.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. Next thing here is a long service award. When you think about it, you don't realise how long he's been here, but John Gregg was presented with a special cap before the St Mirren game to commemorate his 60-year service to Rangers.
Wow.
Absolutely fantastic. Obviously our greatest Ranger for a reason, and you know, 60-year service is incredible.
I know, incredible. He's my dad's hero, Derek, so you know, great respect, and as you say, he is the greatest ever Ranger. I've read his autobiography, which was absolutely fantastic, and you know, really insightful. If anybody gets a chance to read his autobiography, it's fantastic, and he doesn't hold back, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, truth in there, which, you know, if you go back and read, you'll understand a lot about what was going on, especially about the dominance of the other side of the city, which is, you know, he's fantastic when he talks about them, some of the stuff that went on that you wouldn't honestly believe, Derek. So, you know, great stuff, and absolutely delighted for the guy, and you know, he is an absolute legend of the club, isn't he?
Yep, absolutely. Can't take anything away from him, what he's done for us, and hopefully he'll be here for many more years.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Next thing here is SES hero Ant Middleton has agreed to give a talk to our first team and youth team. He stated that he'll be doing that as well as attending a match. He's going to be talking about his career, and I'm guessing give some words of advice as well.
Alright, okay.
You know, fantastic character, great on the shows he's done on the TV as well. So
yeah, mm-hmm.
That's obviously all started from a bit of a joke, I think, with Ewan Cameron, and saying out in Ewan Cameron's a Rangers fan, and Ant said he was a bit of a fan as well. So
good stuff.
Yep. Former player Bilal Mojny was set to rejoin Dundee Hibs, but changed his mind at the last minute because a Turkish club came in for him, so he said fuck you and he's away to there.
Oh, classic. I didn't know that.
Brilliant.
Well done, Bilal.
Yep. And another former player, Stuart McCall, has been appointed Scunthorpe United manager.
Scunthorpe, yeah, that's great. Great to see him back in, Derek. He, you know, he, ex-player and ex-manager, of course, as well. You know, and another guy that we all absolutely adore, you know, a legend at the club also. And, you know, really hope him all the best, and great to see him back in football, isn't it?
Yep, brilliant. Hopefully he'll get some more success, and we'll see videos of him getting on top of cars and falling off, but making sure his beer can.
Falling off them. That's right. Exactly.
So, headline here is badly hatched plan. Man is hospitalised after stuffing 15 hard-boiled eggs up his bum while getting high on date rape drug, THB. A Dutchman had to be rushed to hospital after taking chemsex drug GHB and stuffing 15 hard-boiled eggs up his rectum. The 29-year-old had taken the date rape drug along with his partner, but ended up needing emergency surgery after their ovum adventure. The 15 hard-boiled eggs caused a tear in his intestinal wall, leaving him in excruciating pain.
Could you imagine the smell when he farted, Derek?
Oh, God. The man told doctors they had boiled 15 eggs, and when the eggs were ready, they were peeled and inserted in his anus.
Peeled.
Later that evening, the man began feeling stomach pains and went to his local hospital. Upon arrival, the patient had a high heart rate and rapid breathing. No wonder.
Oh, my God. Oh, just the bare thing of it, does it?
The doctor said the eggs were removed as well as we could, and the abdominal cavity was thoroughly rinsed.
Excellent. And the eggs transferred to the hospital canteen.
Yes. Or should have that been excellent?
Excellent. Oh, that's just unbelievable. Where do you get these stories, Federic?
Do you know, believe it or not, that was on the Daily Mail website.
Oh my God. Oh, incredible. Okay.
So, on that note, leaving it there. I'm certainly not going to boil eggs for my lunch just now, but
yes. You know what? I think I might.
Really nowhere to go with that one.
No, there's no one else.
No. So that leaves us at the end of the podcast. So it's just to say, obviously, we have a few different bits and pieces here. We've got our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/iReadyPod. We have our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. Our Twitter page is at iReadyPod. We've got our Instagram page as well as our YouTube channel. So, heading into the next couple of games, hopefully we're going to get a good result on Thursday. As Dave said, it will stand us in good stead for the game against the Bin Dippers on Sunday.
Yes, I do think it does set us up, Derek. I just hope they do concentrate one game at a time. And we'll see what happens. I still don't know how I feel about the game against Celtic on Sunday. I think before the Motherwell game, I was severely confident, which is maybe a bad thing. So it's maybe a good thing, Derek, that I'm, you know, that way, that I'm not quite sure just now. And I do think this game on Thursday is going to that's going to have a big say in how we play. So I just hope we get a really good performance on Thursday and get a good result. And that should, you know, keep everybody's spirits up and keep us all confident going into that next game. So, fingers crossed, Derek. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yep, absolutely. So, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Take care, guys. Goodbye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
That's giving me the heebie-jeebies.